Question 56. Did not God make what is inside as well as outside? Luke 11:40. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Tradition, symbolism, and customs are enemies to faith, truth, and things spiritual. Jesus found himself living in a culture steeped in tradition and custom. He was constantly fighting it. His actions were usually mistaken for breaking the law of God. Still today, many think that Jesus broke the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, and in doing so, set a precedent for us to do likewise. But one might distinguish between tradition and commandment. Try as you might, you'll not find a commandment to wash your hands before you eat. It was only a tradition of the elders, as was their ambiguous enforcement of the Sabbath. Here Jesus attempted to change their thinking. He was in the house of a certain Pharisee, and again found himself in violation of one of their traditions, hand washing. One may ask, what could it hurt to wash your hands before you eat? Why needlessly offend? Similarly, some ask of Quakers, why not baptize? Why not partake in communion? What could it hurt? Why needlessly offend? I would answer that there is an offense of truth that outweighs the offense of others. In the above reference, this story takes on other dimensions. One can assume that after this meal, the news was spread that this Jesus fellow does not wash before he eats, nor does he teach his disciples to do so. He was cornered by some synagogue leaders and asked, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? Jesus answered them, citing several reasons. He said, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. By this he was pointing out the hypocrisy of the act. Then he said, howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Here he points out their replacement of the true commandment with tradition. He continues, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. When dealing with symbolism and traditions, two factors present themselves as evidence that these are to be avoided. One, the hypocrisy of performing these commandments of men while ignoring the commandment of God. And two, the fact that these symbols and traditions take the place of the truth and the reality which they are intended to illustrate. In the light in Jesus placed this harmless act of hand washing, one can see that it's not harmless at all. He asked, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? He's asking, why do you care and nurture for the outside and neglect the inside? He said later in one of his public tirades, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. All their hand washing was for no other reason than to be seen of men. Jesus knows that hand washing had no basis in hygiene when he said, whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. He goes on to say that if one really cared to keep himself free from all defilement, he would keep himself from the things that truly defile the man. He continues listing them in no uncertain terms. Also, it may not set well with the nutritionist crowd, but Jesus made a statement that's pretty bold. He said, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. So much for hygiene reasons. So much for health reasons. There must be another reason they wash these bowls and cups and utensils and tables and hands and feet. It's clear that they had no commandment from God to do it. So why did Jesus view it as wrong? It was wrong because it was done for no other reason than to be seen of men. Many traditions in the church world today have this same purpose at their core. That's not said to be only critical, but as a signal to proceed with care. We should do nothing that is based in pride or ego. This is one of the reasons why things that are ornate and showy are popular in religious society. This is one of the reasons that the so-called sacrament or communion is something in which we are not to engage ourselves. It is a symbol only. And by the very definition, it is something that represents a quality or condition that the person displaying the symbol may or may not have. It can be a deceitful label, fooling not only the one reading it, but the one wearing it. Just because you take communion does not mean you have communion. By definition, it is hypocrisy. Still another reason is the most detrimental. The symbol occupies the place of the true article. If someone asks you, "When was the last time you had communion?" your mind races back to the time when you were last served the bread and cup. If you're a Quaker of many years, you may answer, "I cannot remember." But even the birthright Quaker that answers never falls prey to the deception. If we understood the true definition of communion, we would answer the question, "Just this morning," or "last evening," or whenever it was that the true communion to which we are called took place. The true communion of the blood and body of the Savior takes place as we consider His gift and sacrifice, and through that sacrifice, we commune and gain strength and find our nourishment from Him. We sup with Him, and He with us. The bread and wine replaces the true communion. The singular act of water baptism replaces the act of daily death and burial of ourselves and resurrection of Christ within us. The baptism in water is not to be a replacement for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, to which we are all truly called. Baptism in water is nothing more than the baptism of John, inquired of by Paul in Acts 19:2-4. "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Our baptism is to be a spiritual one, without which we are not baptized at all. The body and reputation, that which is without, is nurtured and cared for, and every effort is made to see that it has every label and decoration of achievement. At the same time, that which is within goes unnourished, with no adornments of heart, no enhancements of beauty. Some would never miss the Lord's Supper at church, but miss nearly every opportunity to commune with the living Christ. "Ye fools, did not He that made that which is without make that which is within also?" What was the basis for Peter's admonition in 1 Peter 3:3-4? "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Jesus advised, "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Society, meetings, and churches, and perhaps you, place too much emphasis on the outside to the neglect of the inside. If you purchased a shiny used car from a man who placed too much emphasis on the outside to the neglect of the inside, you would accuse him of fraud, and rightfully so. If you bought a home with plumbing and electrical problems from someone who made it look good on the surface only, you would say you were cheated. What can be said about those who endeavor to shortcut the process of true beauty? What would describe one who has only symbols, labels, emblems, or tokens outside to indicate his spiritual condition inside? Jesus was not kind to those who had spent more time on the outside than the inside. He said, "For you are like unto painted tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within you're full of dead men's bones and corruption." Have you been baptized? When was your last communion? Before today, communion may have been appraised as participation in ceremony and sharing of temporal bread and wine. Perhaps before considering these things, baptism was held as a singular occasion of accomplishment. Now, seeing it all as Christ saw it, consider why he asked the Pharisees to take into account more than the liturgical acts of dogma, more than the traditional, more than the physical. One may not be neglected for the other anymore. He asked them, "Did not God make what's inside as well as outside?